Okay, so you're going to be seeing a lot of me right here. Okay, so get used to it. So we're going to be continuing in the parables of Jesus. And today we're looking into the parable of the mustard seed. You know, it's a short parable, but it's repeated in three gospels. It makes me think that it's pretty important if all three gospel writers wrote it down. You know, we're looking at the three parables, and the parable in the three gospels, the synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's only a couple verses long. And I'm not going to take offense. I thought Brother Lakshman gave me the short parable because he wanted me to finish quickly. But I'm not going to take offense to that. All right, so we're going to be looking at this. It's gospel recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we're going to look at the different parables and see what's parallel in this parable. So if you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, I'm just going to look at all three of these, and we can see the parallels that through them. That's Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. Matthew 13, 31 to 32. And he, that's Jesus, presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Okay, now let's look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verses 30 to 32. Mark 4, 30 to 32. And he said, again, Jesus speaking, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade." And finally, we'll look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. So he was saying, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." Now we see in these gospels, we see some similarities. It's a few similarities. And each one, Jesus uses an illustration or an object to compare growth of the kingdom of God. Or another phrase, it's the kingdom of heaven. See, earlier in Matthew, we see that Jesus speak on the parable of the different soils. We see how the seed, which is the word of God, is sown on the different soils and how each one responds to the word. We saw that how it's some rejected, some grew, but not much because it didn't have that root. It was lack of root. And then we looked at the parable and we saw that one seed did well because it was in good soil and produced fruit. And then we looked at another parable where God is the one that's behind the growth, no matter what man does. We see Jesus time after time, and he uses illustrations. He uses objects to relate to his listeners. See, Jesus knew exactly how to get his point across to the listener. He knew how to do it in a way that it struck home. For example, when Jesus talks about the story of the Good Samaritan, he uses it and he illustrates how the Samaritan, who were despised by the Jewish people, was the one that ends up looking like the good guy in the story. And they despised Samaritans. See, Jesus knew how to use illustrations and objects and stories to get the listener to react. And if you look at these parables, you see that Jesus is trying to get reaction as well as trying to explain what he wants. So as we look at this parable, I want us to have that question in the back of our mind. How are we going to react once we read this? Once we look into what God wants, how are we going to react and respond? So here we see Jesus using the illustration of the mustard seed. Now, people knew exactly what a mustard seed was. They knew how small it was. But at the same time, they realized that once planted, it took over a field. Now, they realized that they've seen hills where it was covered with mustard bushes. And they realized it came from such a small seed. So what is it that Jesus is trying to say when he compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed? Yeah, it's known to be a small seed. It's repeated multiple times that it's the smaller of the seeds. But when planted, it grows into a bush. And here it also talks about a tree. So you start to look in awe as you remember where it started from. And you see the growth and you start thinking this is something spectacular. Now, let's break it down a little bit. See, earlier in the parables, you see that Jesus shared and compared the seed as the word of God. And we can look at it from the same approach. We look at it and say that the kingdom of God started from something simple. It's the word of God. And it represents humble beginnings, something small. God's word reminds us that the word became flesh. It was born in a manger in Bethlehem. Started from humble beginnings and continued. And then he chose 12 disciples. Those 12 disciples, later on, we see in Acts chapter 1 that there was 120 in the upper room. And then later in Acts chapter 2, we see that after the Holy Spirit fell on them and Peter's sermon, there was 3,000 now that believed in the word. And you see this growth happen from something so small. When you think about what the people at that time were expecting, it wasn't what they wanted. See, they were expecting the Messiah to come and be some great warrior, to be someone that's going to save them from the Roman rule. They were expecting this flashy, mighty leader that's going to come and save them. Instead, you had someone born in a manger. Instead of flashy, it came as humility. See, at first, the kingdom of the God started small, like we said, from Jesus to 12 to 120 to 3,000. And then you continue to see how Christianity spreads around the world. So when you look at this at first, you're like, this is awesome. This is what the parable is talking about. This is what it's about. It starts small and then becomes this worldwide religion, this worldwide movement. But if the parable ended there, you might say. But it doesn't end there. The parable continues and shows us that this growth brings out branches, and in the branches, these birds come in. And these birds come and take nest in these branches. So then we have to question and say, okay, what does that mean? The first thing we need to realize is that not all growth is good growth. And I came to understand this personally. At some point, I stopped growing this way, and I started growing this way. Not all growth is a good thing. And I realized that personally, and I was like, you know what? Just because something increases in numbers doesn't equate to success. You see, Christianity started, and it was pure. Genuine. And a lot of this started because of persecution that the church was going through. And the persecution that the church was going through, you have believers that were willing to give up their lives for what they trusted and believed in. It was worth it for them. And when you have people that are willing to give up their lives for what they believe in, that's when it stays true to what it's originally supposed to be. As time went on, state got involved. The next thing you know is Christianity became a little bit more free. There wasn't as much persecution. I'm not saying there isn't persecution around the world, but it wasn't prevalent the way it was. And as time went on, with less and less persecution and things allowed to happen, Christianity grew to be something that was bigger than what its original core value was. We look at the illustration, we see that birds come into and rest in its branches. Earlier in Matthew chapter 13, we see that birds is also used. But birds is used in a negative way. You know, birds was used as the evil one, as when it's explained, to come and take away the seed. So later on, you see in the same passage, if birds are mentioned again, we're talking about the evil one being taking nest here in the kingdom of God. And we have to start thinking and looking at what is Christianity today? When you look at what the world views as Christianity and this umbrella of Christianity, all of a sudden you have Unitarianism, Mormonism, Christian Science, Jehovah's Witness, Catholicism. All these are branched under the umbrella of Christianity. And we have to realize Satan is trying to find his way and branching in and resting and allowing people to be deceived. And I started looking at it. Satan has found a way to distract people from looking at the original seed, which is God's word. Here we see Jesus telling his disciples, warning his disciples of what it's going to be like. This is all going to happen after he's ascended and he's gone. See, and he tells us we shouldn't be distracted or fooled by equating growth with success. See, that's a sign of unhealthy growth. It just allows Satan to have opportunity to make his way into the lives of those he can distract. See, true success comes from having the seed grow in good soil. And we saw that in the other parable. Hearts that are willing to obey, hear and obey God's word, will produce fruit that's pleasing to the Father. Trust and obey. And it comes down to, what are we doing to stay close to God's word? You know, I tell my girls this a lot. Just because I tell them something, don't take that as 100% truth. I'm human. I can fail. I can mess up. I want them to have the habit where they go into God's word and they say, wait, is that really true? Because we have God's word, never going to fail, never going to err. We should be those believers that constantly go back to God's word. Not relying just because someone said it from a pulpit, but relying because I read that in God's word and that's what is actually true. That's the kind of believers. If we are those kind of believers, then we're not going to give an opportunity for Satan to come in and to distract. See, what is our response? See, know that God works in ways that might not coincide with our ways or our expectations. See, we might expect something flashy We might expect something bold, but God might have a different approach, which might be from small beginnings. And we see that here. In order for us to avoid Satan or his agents in the church, we must make sure what is taught is according to God's word. We must be careful when we acknowledge Christianity around us. We understand that people use this word lightly. It doesn't mean that there's no true Christians out there. It also doesn't mean that the only Christians are here inside this assembly or the brethren assembly. That's not what it means. When someone trusts in Jesus' finished work on the cross, his death, burial, resurrection, to pay the debt of their sin, and trusting that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven, that's when they may become a true believer. Everything or anyone else on their own strength is just a religion. So in closing, just say, let's live lives that cherish God's word, that we might be able to discern when Satan is trying to sneak his way into the church. Let us trust God for his strength to overcome the evil one and to take opportunities to share the gospel whenever possible with anyone we can to further the kingdom of God. Because that's on us. Jesus asked us to go and spread the gospel. We have people that are distracting from God's word. Why not we be the ones that do it right? To share the gospel, to bring people and to show them what God's word really says. So that we're not distracted by the growth of the tree, but instead are focused on the seed that the tree started from, which is God's word. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you've given it to us for us to understand. And Lord, we pray that with your Holy Spirit, that we would do our best to obey and to live lives that honor you. Thank you again for starting this work. And Lord, we look forward to continuing to share this with others. Give us the strength and keep us mindful and watchful for the evil one. Thank you again for your love for us. In your name we pray. Amen.